that time of the week. We speak with Flo Tess, your first lady of the Eugene sports scene. Or you can refer to her with a play on the Carly Simon song, Jazz Girl. Catch her work for KEZI on channel 709 in high def on your Comcast Xfinity system. Online, KEZI.com. On Twitter, Kristen E. Rogers. KR, how are you today?
I'm fine. Again, I have to apologize for not being able to give you my CD last night at that Oregon-Cal game. Everything has been so busy this week with a lot of breaking news here in Eugene. I promise tomorrow it will be in your hands.
Now, when this went to press, when you dropped your CD, how high up the charts did it go? How many copies do you have?
I mean, it went up pretty high in the charts if you're at Draeger's Supermarket in Menlo Park, California. And it's a very big hit in the Rogers household. But as of the, apart from that, it is not going to be on Billboard's top 100 anytime soon.
All right, so I'm really going to have to get it from you. Okay, all right. I just need to know my options. From when we talked last night, I guess you were supposed to have a little off time, and then the Oregon football team selfishly held some workouts, and did that interfere with your downtime?
Oh, no, not at all. But, I mean, it was a worrisome situation, I would say, with everything that happened. I mean, it's never good when you have to have three players hospitalized because of workouts. And I think that there was a lot of, like a lot of different, I don't know if different reporting is the right word that was going around, but obviously everything that Andrew Greif wrote from the Oregonian was spot on. I mean, three players were hospitalized. It is a scary situation. I think what was interesting from that night on Monday was I know I was talking with, you know, four different players who were all telling me that they didn't think that the level of maybe gruesome was a word that they kept using. They didn't think the workouts were gruesome at all. But it's, you know, it still is worrisome. And I do want to say, because there was a lot of stuff going on Twitter and I was tweeting out players' perspectives and what they were telling me, and they said it was different from Coach Radcliffe's, but it wasn't dangerous. And some people were kind of going back and forth saying that other people's reporting maybe wasn't true. And by no means was, by tweeting out players' responses, was I trying to say what other reporting had been done wasn't true. I mean, it's there's so much, and everyone's going to have an opinion on this, and it's a hard situation for everyone. And I'm not supporting the fact that we're making excuses for the fact that three players went to the hospital. That is not good. Now, Willie Taggart obviously spoke with Aaron Fentress of CSN earlier today, and he, you know, defended Irlay Odarinde, and the workouts that he prescribed. And you know, I think it's kind of a tough situation for everyone, knowing that those three players are under such, not scrutiny right now, but they are pushing themselves under new coach, new staff, everything like that, to show that they don't want to be a slacker. And it's always hard in that transition period. I do think, you know, obviously a suspension, something had to come from it. And obviously we saw that 1 month suspension for Ilay Odarinde, but we'll see what happens moving forward, because this kind of was the first perfect month for Willie Taggart in his new job.
You know, KR, as someone who is actually a journalist, one of the things that bothered me, and you touched on it, is people were like trying to hit on Andrew like he was offering an opinion or kind of an op-ed piece, when the bottom line is all he did was report facts. There was no interjection of any kind of opinion, right?
Oh, yeah, no, and I think that's something that, I mean, if you want to talk about like the more the media aspect of it as well, but I felt like I was getting into an awkward situation as well, because, like I said, everything that Andrew reported was spot on, not opinion. I mean, these are facts that he was hearing firsthand from, you know, Sam Putati's mother and, you know, players and everyone that he, you know, he had other sources that he was talking with. And it was weird, because then when I started tweeting out some stuff about what I'd seen and what, not what I'd seen, but what I had heard from other players as well, who I think were maybe on the defensive side at that point and wanted to, you know, show support for their coach, I had people tagging Andrew in some of my tweets saying he wasn't doing, like, he wasn't reporting, and that's so not true. I mean, people are going to have different opinions at every time, and obviously, you know, you saw players have some interesting takes on the whole situation. If you saw what, you know, Darren Carrington was tweeting out, and even Uko Amadi, who kept his tweet up about how he thought that everything was, quote, overblown by the media. I mean, it was a really weird situation, because you had apologists, but at the same time, you had people criticizing, over-criticizing the program. I mean, it's whenever you have a situation where three kids go to the hospital, it's a tough situation to kind of go through.
No, I'm with you on that one. I just was like, okay, now we're going to chastise facts? No, I can't get on that train. Drives me berserk. Yeah. When Willie Taggart was hired, the next question was, okay, who's your staff going to be? We know that there was a major score in getting Coach Leavitt last week, Mario Cristobal as co-offensive coordinator from someplace in Alabama, I think it is. what can you tell? You tweeted out a nice little piece on him. What could you tell us about him and maybe the kind of score this might be for the Ducks?
No, I think it's a huge score. I mean, I think when you look at everything, this is more general before I get to Cristobal, but every single coach that he's brought in, I think is going to fit really well with this program. And I don't want to, give opinion to it, but I think they all the fits make sense. I think it is going to be interesting. Mario Cristobal has been around an Alabama program that has won and has seen they've been on the top of the mountain. You know, they've been there, they know how to get there. And I think he's going to be able to give great perspective and, just kind of lead the team however possible. And I think players are going to be drawn to that as well. I mean, obviously you always want to think that your team is going to be at the top of the mountain. But when you're able to talk with a coach who has been at such a winning and high-profile program like Alabama, you're going to be able to pick some things up here and there. And I think that's really going to be helpful for Oregon moving forward. And, it did make sense. I did think that they were going to focus on the offensive side of their coaching staff later on in building Willie Taggart's staff. But I did think it was interesting that pretty much the last two pieces besides their special teams coordinator was their two offensive coordinators coming together. So,
right.
It looks like it's finally being built, and obviously hasn't affected recruiting. So you've seen a lot of great guys come through and, just do great things on the recruiting trail so far from what I've seen from Twitter. So it looks like National Signing Day is going to be a big day for Oregon.
Sure will. Talking with Kristen Rogers, recording artist. it seemed like an innocent play. Dylan Brooks collided with a teammate, and he's gone. He didn't come back in halftime. What's the word regarding maybe how this team approaches Stanford and as far as game planning in his absence?
Yeah, it's interesting because during that play, what worried me more than anything was because I saw Dylan kind of like pull up a little bit, but he looked like he was fine. He looked like he was walking around fine. What worried me was Casey Benson went down, and Casey, I could audibly see him just go, ow, from the floor, and he looked like he was, stumbling around a little bit and having trouble walking, and my eye was kind of drawn there, and then the next thing I know, I looked up, and Dylan Brooks is, talking with Coach Altman, saying, I need to go, and he goes off the court without 30 seconds left to play, so I obviously think that's worrisome. Oregon has told us that it is a lower left leg injury. Again, he did break his left foot earlier,
right.
In summer, and was out for a while. I think you're always going to be cautious if anything happens to that side of your body, or especially towards that area. You're going to want to be cautious moving forward because obviously you don't want another broken foot or to re-injure it. Dana Allman said that he was going to go through evaluation last night, and I'm expecting him not to play against Stanford, but Oregon has been fine without him. I mean, it did take them a little bit of a slow start going off against Cal in the second half without Brooks, but I mean, Oregon won by 23 points last night. They put up a great defensive and offensive performance, and they know that what it takes. This team has progressed a lot since the beginning of the season when they weren't playing with Dylan Brooks. I mean, Dylan Ennis at that point was still trying to shake a lot of the rust off.
Right.
Guys were still trying to find chemistry. Their ball movement wasn't good. They're a lot better team now, and I think they're favored by 14 points over Stanford tomorrow. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they just look like a machine right now. But let's move to a different sport, a different level. Championship Sunday in less than 48 hours. I loved your one tweet last Sunday. The quote, man, football is the best. That Packer-Cowboy game, how much fun was that? And do you have a preference for Green Bay-Atlanta or a hope that it could be as scintillating as what we just saw?
I do have a little bit of a tendency for Green Bay. My dad, who I love to death, he actually played football at Santa Clara back when Santa Clara used to have a football team back in the day. And he had a contract with Green Bay.
Whoa.
And then he ended up serving in the Navy after that, though. Decided to join the military. So we definitely have a little bit of a bias towards them. especially with a quarterback named Rodgers, no relation, although I might lie to you sometime and say that he is my cousin.
Nice.
I mean, moving forward, I think it's, you know, what you saw last week in that Green Bay-Dallas game was just perfection under such clutch circumstances by Aaron Rodgers. And I think for the most part, you know, it is kind of a battle of the quarterbacks, both at the NFC and the AFC. I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has been waiting, 12 years for a rematch in the playoffs with Tom Brady?
Right.
So I think everyone's focused on those four quarterbacks this week going into, you know, Championship Sunday. But I think that NFC Championship game is going to be tough because Aaron Rodgers is great under, you know, like I said, clutch circumstances. But Matt Ryan has just been a phenomenal quarterback this entire season. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great game. Both are going to be great games moving forward no matter what.
All right. We always wrap with this. I know there's a lot of hoop at the arena this weekend. So for you and your KEZI cohorts, what are you guys going to be up to between now and when I watch Homeland on Sunday night?
Yeah, a lot of high school hoops coming up tonight and, of course, women's games tonight as well. We are going to be over at the Oregon game for a little bit, try to get up to, you know, get there as well. But it's going to be a lot of high school hoops tonight. And then tomorrow, of course, I will be back for that Oregon-Stanford game, likely seeing without Dylan Brooks on the court. But I think Oregon should be able to handle that. But, yeah, I mean, just a lot of hoops moving forward. It's that time of the season.
All righty. KR, always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, gift in hand. Catcher
yes.
On KEZI, channel 709 in high def on Twitter, at Kristen E. Rodgers. KR, always my pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Talk to you later, Steve.
All right, bye.